Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen. And today, my co-host, Vanessa, is gallivanting in the mountains of Canada on a well-deserved vacation. But we do have...
Lieutenant Laika Stillman. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. She's like one of our number one fans, everybody. And no, it's not because her airmen produce this podcast. It's because she genuinely likes listening to it.
It's true.
And she discovered the soundboard. I hope you all heard that. She gave herself a round of applause.
It's very exciting.
All right, Laika, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
All right, so I'm originally from Arkansas. I graduated through the University of Arkansas and commissioned out of Detachment 30, Go Hawks. I'm currently the Chief of Command Information and Public Affairs, so basically I coordinate our photographers, our content creators, and distinguish what needs to get covered to cover Colonel Berthold's priorities and mission.
Yes, this is the woman that yells at me when I don't have podcasts done on time. She says, "Hey, Jen, when's podcast going to be done?" "Oh, not for another 2 weeks? Okay, that's fine. That's fine."
Perhaps.
So, Laika, how did you feel when you got orders to come to Tyndall?
I was super excited. Really wanted to go on a base that was on the coast. Especially since like I love the beach, but also like the mission here is really unique. F-35s and then installation of the future. I honestly got really lucky and I'm really blessed to be here.
And you love everybody in the office, right?
It's true.
And we love you. She is the most positive, bubbly person I've ever encountered. And I sincerely hope that nobody in your Air Force career ever dulls your goodness.
Aw, thanks, Jen.
This episode is a little delayed because Laika, myself, and two of our other coworkers went on a TDY to New York City, of all places. We went to a public relations conference, and Reese Witherspoon was the keynote speaker. I've explained to people that she's just as adorable in person as she is on the movie screens. She's also super knowledgeable in, you know, like movie production and business. Like, I did not expect her to be speaking about public relations issues, but she was fantastic.
A lot of her pointers or just like quotes were really great during the conference. Just like narrative building, ensuring that we're telling stories that invoke like emotional connection. And yeah, I thought it was really, really informational.
Also during this conference, they literally FaceTimed somebody in space to talk to us.
That was really cool.
We got a chance to talk to Dr. Johnny Kim. He was a Navy SEAL and then he went to Harvard Medical, got his doctorates, and now he's a NASA astronaut. That was... like, how do you top that? Like, that guy...
There's no way. He's an icon.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, not only could he kill you with his bare hands, but he could heal you, and he can go float in space. Like, what a combination of things. That's crazy. But he is very knowledgeable, and he was talking to us about personal connection. Mm-hmm. Like, in a world of AI... how important it is to have genuine human connection and actually care about your team and be present in the moment. So I thought that was really insightful from somebody of that caliber. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I really liked his quote. He talked about it's a disservice telling success stories without highlighting the struggle and hardship of someone who like got to that point.
Right.
And like the responsibility of like storytelling and ensuring that you tell like all perspectives of a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then AI.
Yes. AI is going to take over everybody. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. We had so many different presentations about different forms of AI. It's scary. It's cool. Initially, you're like, oh yeah, that would help me so much at work. But also, computers are going to take over the world. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I think it's interesting that sometimes AI has like a negative connotation, like, oh, like I used AI to create this. But I think now we're kind of shifting that narrative. As long as you're transparent about the use of it, mm-hmm. it's a tool.
Right.
So why wouldn't you use it to be more competitive?
For us, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think where it's really going to hinder society is like school. Mm. Right?
Oh, okay.
Like my 13-year-old daughter was like, Mom, can I get ChatGPT? I'm like, no. Use your brain.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to retain the knowledge. You can't just have AI do it for you because then you're never going to remember what it wrote about. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you do it yourself, you're using your brain power and it's going to stick a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
She hates me for it, but I also don't let her have social media.
Oh, that's so healthy.
Yeah.
My parents did that when I was younger and so blessed for that.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I think I got social media when I was in high school, and it was kind of like a lot to like process.
Yeah, kids are mean, man.
Yeah.
First of all, there's way too much bullying. And second of all, I don't want my daughter's perception of herself to formulate from Instagram models or, you know, people just being fake on social media, because that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. That's so true.
It is hard explaining to her, like, this is a good thing. I also did my master's thesis on the effects of social media on kids, like, mentally. So she's screwed. I know everything. I know exactly how many predators are on the interwebs, right? Oh, just waiting for these kids. And, you know, they coax them into, like, meeting up with them, or they take their pictures. Even from Snapchat, your Snapchats can get hacked, you know. Mm. They will take the pictures, they'll save them, they'll put them on the dark web, and gross.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, if you're listening to this and you let your little teenager on social media, probably not the best idea. I'm just going to throw that out there for everyone. Last month, we got to celebrate Month of the Military Child. At the end of last month, I had a tour of kids from Tyndall Academy come visit us. They wanted to learn what PA does, how our social media affects the community, all that good stuff. So we taught them everything public affairs. We took them to NDR to see Rebuild Tech. We took them to the flight line to show them our jets, because that is the ultimate piece of tech that we own. And they loved it. However, I did not get to put them on last month because it was at the end. So this episode is going to be a little different. They're going to be on the beginning half of the episode. And then this month, May, is Military Spouse Appreciation Month. So I will have some of the key spouses. And I was told that I'm not allowed to call them that anymore, but I don't like the other name, so I'm going to continue to call them key spouses. Were you a military child?
No. Neither of my parents were in the military.
My dad was a 20-year Navy vet, but he was mostly reserved, so I didn't ever have to move.
Okay.
I don't know what it feels like to move all the time and be an active duty kid, so I can't really relate to my kids.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, the two demographics that you just mentioned, the spouses and military children, like both of them are so like resilient. Like I can't imagine having to like pick up your life and move and then like start all over again. But they're such like a key part in just our readiness and our morale.
Yeah. So, it's very true.
Applaud you guys.
We have never used the sound effects like I guess we're gonna start now, right?
My apologies. Leave a comment or a like in the box below if you like the sound effects.
Yeah, so we'll just call this episode the family episode because it's covering pretty much everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we already had spouses on, but it's the month. So, LT, you're leaving us soon.
I know. I'm like, it's like bittersweet.
We're getting used to it, girl.
Oh, that's so real. That's what So T-Bone, our past comrail chief, one of his word of advice, or not advice, but comment was, every time you move, you're going to feel like you left something behind.
Aww.
And he said it's the people and the connections that you built and the relationships and like also the hard work that you put in.
Oh,
and
that's so sentimental, T-Bone.
Yeah.
Not that he's listening. He's too old. He doesn't know how to work a podcast.
But yeah, I'm going to Kunsan. I'm excited to learn more. I've heard that just PACAF in general, like that's where information space is pretty robust.
Yes. But Kunsan's a different beast. You're going to be part of the wolf pack.
Let's go.
I hope you have the best time and I hope you explore over there.
Yeah, me too. Korean food.
Oh my God, I'm jealous.
I'm currently trying to learn Korean through Duolingo, not sponsored.
Oh, you're legitimately trying to like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, I want to like at least like navigate where I can be like, I don't, my like Korean is bad, or like,
yeah,
just like some phrases.
Okay.
We'll
you do have Google Translate, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't really want to be like a tourist when I go explore.
Okay, Lieutenant Steelman, this was your shining moment. How do you think you did?
I think I did all right.
I think you did too.
It's an honor to be here, Jen. Thank you for having me. I anytime like my friends are in the car or like my family,
oh, yeah.
I told Jen this, but I'll tell the listeners if you'll keep this in and not edit it out.
Of course.
Like, it's kind of unhinged, but you know, like friends, family are in my car, and I have aux, obviously, because I'm driving, and I put on the podcast to make everybody listen to it.
Like, they have no choice.
They have no choice.
You are the driver. You choose the audio. They have no choice. They have to listen. Meanwhile, your brother's in the back like, oh, my God, please stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I appreciate you imprisoning their ears for a couple of minutes. It's not super long, like it's not super agonizing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's entertaining and like informational, so
yeah. Are you gonna keep listening when you go to Kunsan?
I will, for sure. I listen to the podcast when I do like dishes or just like when I drive to work.
Leica has just given me the green light to steal one of the airmen. So as of July 1st, Airman Naeem will be my co-host, so Vanessa can go back to her ridiculously busy comrail schedule.
Yeah, Naeem, he's amazing. He's an amazing content producer. Find him on Divids. Yeah, his content has gone widespread. So I'm excited for him to venture out.
So next episode will be Vanessa's last episode with us, everybody. Sad day. But Naeem will be fun. I will be teaching him everything podcasts, and he is a different generation, so you'll get different perspectives, you know? He knows how to say all the cool words. No cap.
Yes, Jen, that's how you use it. Slay.
Thank you, Lieutenant Steelman, for joining me on this episode of the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody, stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. Today we have two of the youngest guests I've ever had, but very, very special, and I'd love you to meet them.
I'm Nora Almond.
I'm Anthony Rowley.
And they are two students from Tyndall Academy. Their tech class is currently on a tour of Tyndall Air Force Base, and they're learning all the techie things that are going on here at base, from our rebuild to our robot dogs. We have an entire room full of students that are being extremely quiet, if anybody is wondering. I'm very proud of them. A room full of 13 and 14 year olds. So, Nora, what do you think about being a military kid?
It's pretty cool. I have a lot of really cool experiences.
What's your favorite part?
Well, I love to move around and to meet all the new people.
How are you liking Tyndall Academy?
It's fun to meet all the people who have shared the experiences that I have with moving around every couple years.
So it's comforting being at Tyndall and having all the other military kids with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, Nora, your dad's pretty... He's an important guy. Do you know anything about what your dad does?
Yes. He is the commander of AFNorth, and he is awesome. mean,
he's a pretty nice guy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
In the past 5 years, I think we've moved 7 times.
Oof.
So his job has taken us a lot of places, which is also really cool to know all these experiences.
And what was your favorite place so far?
I think Colorado Springs.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't like the beaches?
No, I would much rather be in the mountains.
Yeah. It's hot here, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
What about you? What's your favorite place you've lived?
So far, I guess like Florida, really.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been here?
Like almost 3 years.
Okay. And what are your, you have one military parent or two?
I used to have two.
But okay.
My dad retired and my mom's now one and my dad's police officer now.
Okay. Your dad's living the good life.
Yeah, he's in Washington right now.
Okay. And do you know what your mom does?
All I know is she works in a portable.
Okay. She works in one of the many, many trailers on base?
Yes.
Because of the rebuild, right? You've been in Florida for quite a bit. Are you guys getting ready to move soon?
I mean, my mom, she said, yes, we actually are. She said she wanted to go to California.
Ooh, okay. All right. So what do you guys think is the least favorite thing about being a military kid?
Well, it's hard when you've finally gotten into a place and you've gotten settled and you've made all your friends and then you move again.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that makes you stronger?
Yes, ma'am.
As a person? Yeah, because you are very resilient to change, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So I think eventually it might make y'all better adults because change for some adults is really scary. And you guys are going to be so used to it, it might actually help you out. What's your least favorite part?
I mean, I would say moving, but like I got pretty used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really that bad since I can call my friends anyway, so...
That's very true. You guys have FaceTime and all these different social media platforms. I'm not trying to sound really old, but back in the day when we moved, that was it. Unless you're writing letters to each other in the mail, you didn't see those friends anymore. So I think you guys are kind of lucky for that.
Yes, ma'am.
But it is hard because you make besties, right? And yes. Then you got to leave the besties. But how does it feel when you go to a new school?
I mean, you feel pretty left out at the beginning. Yeah, I mean... You find friends at some point, and then you stay here for a long time, and you do it again.
Yep. So it's just a repetitive cycle, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It can be, especially when you move in the middle of the year. I'm very lucky. I've never had to do that, but I know friends who have, and it's really hard.
Yeah, that is rough. What's one thing, or the most important thing, that you look forward to when you go to a new base?
Well, I've lived on base... only twice before. So living on base is a really cool experience because we're touring base right now and I can say that I know most of these places because I've lived here and it's fun to share experiences with kids who are also military who know what it's like.
What about you?
I'm about to say the same thing. I basically was on 2 base twice, but like the first time I was with both of my parents, but this time I'm with just my mom.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm looking forward to finding friends on base instead of off base so I don't have to drive and stuff.
Yeah. And it's safer on base, right?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
There's not a lot of traffic. The houses are not terrible. Yeah. You got beaches on base you can just hop on over to. You guys got new baseball fields and a swimming pool coming.
I mean, yeah, but like the only dangerous thing over there is them bears.
Yeah.
So, yes. See, every week my trash can will be tipped over.
Oh, I forgot about the bears. That's very true.
And the bear will literally target my trash can. At some point, it actually got open the trash can. And
you got the good stuff in the trash can. That's what it is.
Yeah, he tore that trash can. He took a bag and went.
Have you guys seen alligators on base?
I mean, no but I have saw a rattlesnake.
Ooh, yeah.
I almost ran into it, but, you know.
All right, if you could change one thing about being a military kid, what would it be?
I think, well, that's a hard question. I mean, moving is hard, but I feel like it has a lot of positive outcomes. Like you said, I'm very resilient to change and meeting new people. But if I could change one thing, I think it would be maybe raising awareness a little bit, because we have the month of April for the military kids, but I feel like there's a lot of people out there who have the same experiences and don't get to talk about it a lot.
That's very true. It's very true. We should appreciate y'all year round, right? You just have to go with the flow, and we expect y'all to be okay. So I think you are accurate, and we need more resources for y'all. What would you change?
I mean, what I would change is,
moving.
I mean, yeah, but like, I think we're all people, like, in the same area as you should be getting deployed at the same spot, you know.
Okay, so when everybody, like, one base deploys as a team, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that idea. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys have seen what your parents have gone through in the military. Do you think that you would ever join the military?
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think it's very important. And even if you hadn't stayed in the military, if you just go like to school for the Air Force Academy and then you do your 4 years and then you retire, it's still a very important part of being a citizen and helping out.
I love, Nora's like the number one recruiter right now.
I mean, yes. And being in the military, there's so many different opportunities. You could be a medic in the military. You could focus on tech. Like,
yes,
you do.
There's lots of tech jobs, but it's good to know that military kids don't see it all negatively. All right. What do you guys think of this podcast and the tech I use?
They're pretty cool.
Indeed. I can hear myself.
And this is a job that you can do in the Air Force. I get paid to do this. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, yes, I think I might do the same thing.
All right, everybody. That will wrap it up with our month of the military child. Thank you both so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Stick around and we'll be right back.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, listeners. We are here with our additional guest for this episode. We have Mr. Todd Carballo. He is a retired chief, but he's now a spouse and a member of Key Spouse Club. And then we also have Ms. Katrina Monroe, and she is also a vet, but a current spouse as well. All right, so welcome to the show, both Hello. Of you. And let's do a little bit of background. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Todd. I am retired. I retired in 2023. A little different. I was a traditional guardsman, Florida. It started in Louisiana, actually, before I moved to Florida. So just your typical weekend, a month guy. And then I converted over to active guard reserve, and I did that for 20 years, just over 20 years. So, retired, married to Lieutenant Colonel Carballo, Amber Carballo. She's a section commander over at 1st Air Force. We have four kids. Marilyn and Travis are Amber's children, or our children, but Marilyn's a local realtor, and Travis actually, he joined the Air Force. He's actually at Ramstein. He's security forces.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so very proud of that. It's awesome. And then Max and Bailey, and they're both Florida State.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Katrina. I was active duty for almost 9 years. I was age for the first six, and then I retrained into personnel. We have two boys. One is 22 and the other one is 20. Our oldest just recently moved home with us, so, and our youngest is still at home.
You are a saint for that, because I told my kids, when you turn 18, you're out the door. Well, as soon as you graduate high school, go figure out life.
Oh my gosh. We bought our forever home here because my husband's planning on retiring soon. And we got 5 acres of land so that we can give them each an acre to build houses in the back. So
I'm going back to this. I bet you're so ready for your husband to retire. Because he's a chief, y'all have been in it for a minute.
He's been in for 20, going on 26 years, I believe, this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're ready. We've had a lot of PCSing as a chief. They say rank has privileges, but sometimes it's rough. Once you get to chief, they're gone or you're moving every 1 to 2 years, and I'm tired.
Moving is exhausting,
and there's so much that goes into it that I don't think people realize, because it's not just like, let me take my stuff from this house and move it to this house. Let me find a new primary care physician if you have kids, let me find doctors for them, sports for them, schools for them. It's so much, it's so time consuming.
I'm over it. I still have 2 years left of it. Last one I did by myself, that was a doozy. That did me in. I get it. Like, you have TMO, like, they're doing most of the physical labor, right? But you are dealing with all the tedious things.
Yes.
It's just mentally draining.
I feel like by the time we get set up in a new area, it's already time to move. By the time, like, my house is exactly the way that I want it and I have a primary care physician.
Can you imagine doing it every year or two? Absolutely not.
We move every 2 to 3 and I still feel like I'm adjusting. Nope. So every 1 to 2 is a lot.
So, Todd, tell us a little bit, and Katrina, you've been a Key Spouse before. So, Todd, tell us a little bit about the Key Spouse program here. Disclaimer.
Yeah.
We are talking about Key Support Liaison Program. I am used to calling it Key Spouse because that's what it was back in the day, so I apologize.
Yeah, the Commander's Key Support Program.
There you go.
Okay, so basically we're kind of like a liaison between the families of spouses and the leadership for the unit. I guess that's the official spiel on it. But as far as what we do, we just provide support to, you know, we have a good little catchphrase, basically connect, inform, and refer. So that's basically what we're trying to focus on and do to help integrate the spouse or the family into the units. Not just at First Air Force or C1AA, but also across the base at AOC, AOG. So kind of a blend of active duty, guard, which brings its own issues and concerns and differences, and be able to support the spouse and the families, yeah.
Let's start from the beginning of the spouse journey. It's a little different for the three of us, right? Like, we're vets. So we had somewhat of an idea going into our relationship, what it entailed being a spouse. My biggest shocker was when I had kids. The biggest thing for me, watching my kids, when we PCS, watching their tiny hearts break because they're leaving their friends. I feel like I need to just jump into traffic. Like, it is so depressing watching them. I mean, it's a different era, right? Like, when we were little, we would move away and we'd never talk to those people again. But now they have FaceTime and
social media.
Yes. So they can still communicate, but just, oh God, I hate watching the dramatic departures. That's my least favorite part. What do you think has been the biggest struggles thus far being a spouse?
So when we had kids, we decided that we were going to have them close together, because I said, you know, when we PCS, I want them to have one person that they know.
Aww.
So our kids are only 22 months apart, because I just wanted them to have one friend with them when we moved. As far as struggle for spouses is just, you know, moving, restarting over, I guess the different things that your spouse goes through, having to be a support system for them, kind of sometimes having to take the back seat to allow them to thrive and have their career goals. It's just, you know, sometimes it's a little bit challenging.
Yeah. Ooh, I hate that. Like, the back seat perspective. I have worked so hard to get, you know, my master's degree and do something that I love. I genuinely love what I do. And I've told my husband, you retire in 2 years. After that, we do whatever I want to do. So if I want to move to New York City, guess what? You're coming with me, buddy.
It's Jen's turn.
Yeah, it's my turn. But it's also a catch-22, like, I'm doing it so much later on in life. Like, I do regret that because I feel like I would be so much more successful had I hit the ground running out once I got out of Air Force. Like, yes, I went back to college, but I couldn't really start my career because we were PCSing, so I had to do what my family needed. We decided to have kids. I needed to take care of my kids. My husband wanted to go be an instructor, so I had to support that. And, you know, so it's hard. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy this episode, I swear, because me and Vanessa have been down this dark hole before. But
no, but I think that that's, Cody and I have had very similar conversations where I've had to put my career on the back burner and just kind of take what I can get, because oftentimes you get put in these areas where your career field might not be that relevant. Like, my background is marketing and communications. And when you move to a small southern city of 80,000 people, there aren't a lot of opportunities to work for marketing firms there. So I took a lot of odd jobs. I worked as a barista, and I worked as a bartender and a newborn photographer. So just little things, but you kind of feel like there's really no growth or progression. And while I appreciate those skills and having the ability to learn those skills, and I do feel like I still apply most of them, I make myself coffee every morning.
You don't make anybody else coffee, so you're the only one filling your
seat. It would have been nice to kind of, like you were saying, hit the ground running,
right,
and contribute to my career progression or my career growth or a 401k. Because a lot of those jobs were part-time. I think in the first year that we had moved to our first duty station, I was working maybe 15, 20 hours a week. So there's really, you're not making a lot of money. You're not, you don't have health benefits outside of what you get as a spouse. You're really just so dependent on your significant other at that point. And it's, that was, I think, the biggest struggle for me.
Okay. So going back to rainbows and butterflies, what is one piece of advice that you would give a brand new spouse that has no clue what military life is like?
I would say be flexible and understanding with your spouse in that sometimes their duty is going to come before you, and it's not necessarily their choice. It's, you know, they have to choose doing what they're supposed to do for work or trying to do what needs to be done at home or what's going to make you happy. And sometimes they're not able to accomplish both.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, that you're definitely a team. It's a team effort. You know, we were talking about it earlier. You know, we kind of cringe a little bit when you say, well, the spouse is serving too, you know, that type of thing. So I really don't prescribe to that. And in a sense, they're definitely supporting. That is 100%. But I think as soon as you can kind of understand the roles of the relationship, you know, especially when it comes to a military member, and how the spouse fits into that or the partner fits into that, to provide that support and provide kind of that team.
You have a favorite spot that you guys have been so far, or you're just kind of appreciative of the entire moving around experience?
I like place or different things about each place that we've been to, but I think my favorite place was Charleston. It's just beautiful, and there's so much history there. And it was a very, very short assignment. We were only there for 23 months, and my husband was there for, I don't know, maybe 4 months. He went to the Chief Charm School, I guess they call it CLC, where they, teach them how to be chiefs, shortly after we got there. And then he got a deployment, like, right afterward. And
so he really didn't live there.
No, he did not.
Wow.
But I was heavily involved in the squadron. I was a key spouse mentor and was on the booster club. So I told him he should probably give me his parking spot because I worked in the squadron more than he did.
Yeah, and, that's crazy.
But I loved that assignment and the involvement that I had with that squadron.
Nice. What about you, Todd?
Oh,
you're active guard. You don't count. You get to stay in one spot, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. You know, I traveled a lot for work, TDY, so I got to see a lot of places, deploy and that type of thing. But yeah, I loved everything about my service. I enjoyed it. You know, everybody's, the easy answer is the people, right? Mm-hmm. And it is really, it's very true. It is the people. So yeah, my career, I loved it. It was great. I was lucky. I got to do a lot of good things, that type of thing. But now being retired and as a spouse, right? Mm-hmm. And having my spouse still being in the serve, boarding piece for me now is to kind of be that support system. Like to be the spouse is kind of cool for me, you know? And now in the spouse program is also kind of to give back too. When I retired, I was very happy to retire. Don't get me wrong, I was ready. But I still wanted to be connected, if that makes sense. I wanted to get out, but I kind of still wanted to be a part of it. Mm. So I think the rewarding piece now for me is this side of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I get that. Like still wanting to be connected. For myself, this is no offense to anybody in this room. I could care less about the spouse side of it. But when I got out of active duty, I tried a civilian job. And I felt like civilians just did not comprehend where we are as vets, you know what I mean? Like whether that was PTSD or just like the dark humor, I felt alienated when I worked with civilians. It was weird. So like coming back and being able to be a GS, that is fantastic for me, because obviously like if you guys could hear me unfiltered, you would understand why.
Yeah,
but professional Jen just is a different person. But I can be myself with military people because that's who I'm comfortable with. So I totally get like you didn't want to let go of all of it.
Yeah, it's a total different culture. I mean, I did work, you know, early in my career when I was a traditional guardsman, I did have a civilian job. And it's not like even when I was a guardsman, I still loved it. Was just a different culture.
Yeah.
And I would go to drill, if you will, and being with the guys and girls and drill or in the unit, where it's a totally different relationship than it was on the civilian side. And so, like you said, when I retired, I was a contractor for a year.
Yeah.
And I just rolled right back into government service again, because that's just what you know.
Yeah.
But it's also what's comfortable and know what to expect. But just being around folks that are in is very different.
Yeah. You know? I thought civilian life was boring. So that's why I came back here for the spiciness, you know?
And I think, too, that might be where the Key Spouse program really comes in handy, is there are so many resources out there. It's just a matter of finding them and finding which ones work best for you.
Right.
Yeah. And like you have been in the game a hot minute, so you know all the resource. Both of y'all, like 20 something years, you guys are prime points of contact. Like if somebody has a question about something, they could come to either one of you, or I'm sure any of the Key Spouses, and you guys know these programs or like where to refer them to.
For sure. And that is, you know, one big bonus to that. And then being connected, you know, having as my wife being a section commander, if I have a question, I can just call her or text her and ask her, hey, you know, this is the issue that's come up, you know, with point in the right direction. Right. It's that type of thing. Because, you know, referring is huge. And there's so many resources. It'll make your head spin, to be honest with you, trying to keep up on what's available and what
take advantage of those things when they are available. They do offer a lot of different things for spouses on the base. Get to know your spouse's area where they work. Get involved in whatever you can so that you feel connected with your community and you have the resources available.
All right. Katrina and Todd, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us about all the things. We hope to see you around base.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.